Good morning. Thank you everyone for coming to this event. I'm Sonia Roberts and I have been Jack's partner in marriage and business for the last 26 years. I'm here to make an introduction of the introducer. And first I wanted to first say that we have a website that is up and running as of this morning. It's called jackhatch.com. We'll be posting information and our itinerary on that website if you choose to go there. As I said, I'm going to introduce the introducer, and what I want to do is tell you that our speaker is a good friend, a good long-term friend, and he's the former mayor of Des Moines, and you may recognize him, Preston Daniels.
Good morning, everyone, and let me first thank all of you and thank all of you for coming out here today, and it is my pleasure and my honor to be here this morning. Several things. One, yes, Sonia's right. I've known Jack Hatch for a number of years. I think when we first met Jack, I had hair.
And mine was brown.
Yes, it was. And that has gone away. But it has been a pleasure to know Jack over all these years. But there's also a couple of other reasons that I'm here. I'm here because I love this city and I love this state. Jack, to me, is the person who is ready to take over the handle of this community and this state. When I was mayor, we worked hard for our neighborhoods, we worked hard for our communities, and we worked hard for the people who lived in this city. Our state has a proud heritage of being a progressive state, a state that works for these same people, who works for the underdogs, who works for the people that sometimes can't speak for themselves. We do the things that empower people, that make it a better place to live, a better place to raise a family, and a better place for us to all grow older together. Jack Hatch, to me, represents that. I look at things that he has done in this community, the support that he has brought to this community, and he has made Des Moines a better place to live. For that, I am very proud of all the work that you have done, Jack, and I want to thank you personally for that work. Jack is such a hard-working person. Jack is a fighter, and it's time that we deliver a fighter for the people to the office of governor of the state of Iowa. Again, I like history. I go back and look at history. It was one of the first things I did as mayor. I wanted to know about the history of this city. I wanted to know about the history of this state. We were the first in education. We worked hard to become an educational state. Today, we no longer hold that honor. Why not? We supported people. We did not run away from the diversity issues that face this community. Many, many years ago, we helped those poor slaves to escape from the South, to come here to a freedom that they never had. Our state is walking away from those diversity issues today. We have new immigrants, people who add and contribute to the glory of what Iowa has been and what Iowa can be. I want someone who will work for that future. I don't want someone who simply occupies a position. Jack Hatch will never do that. Jack Hatch will fight for the underdog. Jack Hatch will fight for the people who need someone to stand up for them. Jack Hatch has enough intelligence to know when his vehicle is driving down the road at 94 miles an hour that it is not going 65. I say these things to you because it is time for that change once again in the state of Iowa. And I can say with the certainty that Jack Hatch, Senator Hatch, who began his career early, fighting for the rights of people, fighting so that we didn't have continuing eyesores like the Dyko plant that hides behind us here. And it has taken this community years to overcome this kind of blight. And we would not have overcome it had it not been for the aggressiveness, for the determination of a Jack Hatch, of a Senator Hatch, who brought his skills, brought his knowledge, and brought his determination to support people to his office. It is my pleasure and my honor to introduce the next governor of the state of Iowa, Senator Jack Hatch.
Preston, thank you very much, and for all my friends standing here with me. This is a day that has not been dreamt about very long. It's a day in which I think we have come together because we want a better Iowa. Now, a lot of you are wondering why we are holding this at this site. Some of you probably have never been here before. But this site is important to me. This site is as important to me as anything, because it's the day that I started working on this issue is the day I knew I committed myself to public service. I was just a freshman legislator when I realized that this issue was going to define my public service. We're standing at one of the largest environmental disasters in Iowa's history. Standing in front of us is the old Dyco plant. They made and manufactured wheel rims. And they used a solvent to clean them. The problem is that solvent was a cancer-causing toxic chemical. And it was seeping into the Des Moines Water Works, which is just a hop, skip, and a jump from here. In Iowa, we don't accept the arrogance of the powerful. In Iowa, we take care of our neighbors. In Iowa, we believe that nobody is above the law. And so I was determined to do something. And when the EPA came into this site to start cleaning it up, there was no corporate responsible company that was named. Everybody was pointing fingers at everybody else. And for 6 or 8 years, the federal government did nothing. For 6 or 8 years, the state government did nothing. Well, that made me mad, and that made me determined. When toxic chemicals that causes cancer is detected in the Des Moines water, someone needed to do something. So I launched an investigation. I had hearings in the state capitol. I invited federal officials, state officials, city officials. Corporate executives testified. The Des Moines Water Works officials were there. We ended up leading a delegation down to Kansas City. And after the aggressive reporting of the Des Moines Register and citizens demanding that something be done, the EPA finally decided to name Dyco as a responsible corporation. They fought that designation. And even to this day, having been determined to have been the polluter, they are still causing the Des Moines Water Works problems in cleaning up the TCE plume underneath the ground. This was not the first fight that I took on. Terry Branstad's administration was silent for the first 4 years of his 5 terms on environmental protection. What we decided to do next was to take him on again. His own agency identified the largest contamination of drinking water throughout Iowa to be from leaky underground storage tanks. No action from the governor at all on how to clean that up. So along with some colleagues, I wrote a bill, floor managed the bill that created the underground storage tank bill that cleaned up the point source of pollution in all cities across the state, rural cities, small towns, and big cities. As of today, we've almost eliminated contamination from underground storage tanks as a problem for our drinking water. But still, that wasn't enough. We had to fight Governor Branstad again. When we heard reports from a state agency that there was abuse of power and there was mismanagement of funds, I convinced the Legislative Council to establish an investigative committee, a bipartisan investigative committee. We hired a consultant from Iowa State, and we interviewed all the employees of that agency. And our report was delivered to the governor, and he looked at me and he said, "You're telling me that my managers are not competent." And I said, "Yes, Governor, that's correct. They're not." 1 week later, he fired the three top administrators of that agency. Sound familiar? So that wasn't enough. The arrogance of power comes in many forms. When he returned to be governor for the fifth term, we stood up against him on the expansion of Medicaid. Healthcare is very important to me. So when the law was passed that every Iowan needed and deserved health care in the state, Terry Branstad metaphorically stood in the doorway of every hospital, of every doctor's office, of every clinic, and said, "No, we do not need more health care in the state." We were not satisfied with that, and we fought that arrogance of power, and we convinced not only the governor finally, but my Republican colleagues, that every Iowa adult needed health care, and we expanded Medicaid like other states are doing. I will keep fighting the big guy on behalf of the little guy, everywhere, anywhere, all the time. That's why I am in public service. That is my responsibility, not only to provide legislation and work with my colleagues the 4.5 months we're at the state capitol, but to fight for my constituents and for all Iowans 12 months out of the year. We have a responsibility to stand for the things that we truly hold important in the state, the values of hard work, the values of making sure that this place, this state, has the highest, has the most capability and the highest opportunities of anywhere. I believe in vibrant neighborhoods and small towns. Actually, those are the economic engines of this state, not big corporations coming in from out of state and gaining all the tax credits, but small towns and big city neighborhoods where my friends here in Des Moines, Cedar Rapids and Carroll and Creston, all have the ability to determine for themselves what they want this next governor to do. I think that when we look at a campaign, we have to remember that's a pretty big task. But I think the single most important quality a candidate can have in taking on Terry Branstad is to represent and be a voice for the hardworking middle-class families of the state. Everyday Iowans need a voice. A straight talker who knows that nobody is above the law. I've dedicated my public service career to be that voice. And that is why today I'm announcing that I'm a candidate to be governor of the state of Iowa. I understand that the stakes are high. This is no time to surrender to the status quo of a governor whose only goal is to be the longest serving governor in America's history. Our governor and our government needs to fight for the middle class of this state. And that's what we plan on doing. We have several goals, and during my 3 months of my exploratory committee, I visited over 25 counties, big cities, small towns, met people at convenience stores, to church basements, to city halls. And there's several things that they've brought to my attention that I've formed into a series of goals, the beginning of a conversation that we will have with Iowans. My first goal is to reverse the state slide toward a Branstad administration and a Branstad economy where low wages are the norm. My goal is to change our mentality of bringing in low wages and replace them with middle class wages. And let's start by increasing the minimum wage in this state. Let's develop our communities and the economy of our communities from the bottom up, from the neighborhoods and the cities and the small towns, and not from out-of-state corporations. My goal is to stop punishing retirement. Let's cut property taxes for seniors who live in their home. My goal is to grow more thriving small businesses and to crank down on the sweetheart deals of corporations that this administration seems not to have enough of. My goal is to keep our topsoil rich and productive for the next 100 years and to get our drinking water bills down so they don't have to be cleaned up because of contaminated waterways. Let's manage our nitrates and let's reduce them before they get into the water stream. My goal is to make college more affordable and to cut college debt significantly by inducing more flexible rules and regulations, but also establishing a program where we can accelerate the baccalaureate degree at our colleges, and not just the state universities, but the private colleges as well. We give $54 million to private colleges and universities in this state. We give hundreds of millions to state universities. We give hundreds of millions to community colleges. They should be working together in tandem so that a kid in college can go anywhere at any time to get his degree as soon as possible. And I have a personal goal of making this state the healthiest state in the union. We're not going to be fooled by marketing techniques that talk about blue zones or red zones. That's only going to get us to the twilight zone. What we need is to really look at how every child and every adult has access to health care. When I was a state legislator, I led the effort to make Iowa the highest percentage of kids in health insurance anywhere in the country. And as a governor, I want to make every adult have access to health care anytime and any place. I want our kids to have interactive learning experiences in school, and our seniors to have great home health care as they age. I want every rural kid to have a dentist, and I want every working woman to have a decent wage. I want incomes to rise, and I want the poverty rate to fall. I want communities and cities and towns to grow, and I want businesses to expand. You know, we have the same size and population as St. Louis, Missouri, about 3 million. We can't be divided along the old political lines. Whether you live in rural Iowa or urban Iowa, we have to remember, we are all Iowans. And we have to act like that. And we rise or fall as one. I want our agricultural economy to lead the world. And I want family farms to be sustained for the next 100 years. And I want all of us to know that that's essential if Iowa is to be a world leader. Our campaigns don't have to be mean-spirited. They could be passionate, and they could be direct, but we could do it with a smile. I look forward to this campaign to reach out to all Iowans. We have an opportunity now. We have an opportunity to understand that we could either stay in neutral, maintain the status quo, or we could challenge Iowans to think bigger and to act bigger. This state has enormous opportunities. You'll hear from my opponent that I grew up in Connecticut, that I came here as an adult. I came here as a student to go to Drake University. And I chose Iowa to live after I graduated. I chose Iowa to live to raise a family. And I chose Iowa to leave behind a legacy for all of our children. We cannot be seduced by rhymes or prose of a campaign that all they want us to believe is that we can't do better. The challenge ahead of me is to prove to Iowans that we can do better, that I'll challenge Iowans to a life of what they dream for, not something that they're going to just accept. And with that, I acknowledge from my wife, who's been with me, sometimes she thinks way too long, to my children, who are excited about this opportunity, and to my friends who have stayed with me for all these years, to knowing that if we just accept the mediocrity, we have no place to go but down. But they want more for their lives. They want more for their children. And we're going to give it to them. Thank you very much.